You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there. And no one, no government agency has jurisdiction over the truth.
The truth is out there, and it turns out the truth was in Marion, Illinois for a reasonably priced ticket. This is I Wanna Believe on the Podzilla 1985 Network, and tonight we are going to find the truth, or at least get a little bit closer to it. My name is Shannon Young. I just hit the microphone with a pen. I apologize. With me, of course, I have the man himself, Tanner Calvert.
There's nothing true in Marion, nothing good in Marion.
That is true, actually. And Double H.
I just want to know what Marion considers reasonably priced.
Well, I think it actually has the ticket price in there. If not, we'll see. Yeah,
we'll get there.
We'll get there eventually.
We'll get there.
We got a bunch of good stories tonight to talk to you guys about. Steven, stop messaging me. First off, on last Tuesday. Well, actually, before we get into it, Tanner, really quick. Where are we going to be in August?
We are going to be at the
Midwest.
Midwest Conference of the Unknown.
There you go.
You got it.
It's been a long day.
Yes.
Strange Tales. Midwest Conference on the Unknown. We're going to be doing a lot of things, including ghost hunting. We're going to do a live podcast. We're going to be talking to some special guests. And Hunter.
What?
Is going to be doing something really exciting.
What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell? No,
hell?
Really, I got some really exciting news today. So the good folks over at Comically Inclined are putting on a live radio play at the conference. It's called At the Door, something that was written, it's my understanding, was written specifically for this. Went and auditioned yesterday, been waiting for this, and found out today that I did indeed get cast for the performance. I'm going to be playing Father June, a man of the cloth who prefers to let the Lord do his work for him. He's not super interested in getting down in the dirt. But this is going to be a lot of fun. It's set up like an old live radio play, so we're going to perform it live right there on stage. Sponsored by Speakeasy Coffee Company in Cape, so really excited about that. Doing a live commercial for them as well. And this is going to be on night two of the conference. So Strange Tales runs August 5th through the 7th at the Drury Conference Center in Cape. And on night two on August 6th, that Saturday night, we're going to be doing this performance. It's also going to be recorded and posted as a podcast. Now, where, I don't know.
Maybe
I'll have to link that for you.
Maybe we can get an exclusive version for Podzilla. Who knows?
That would be really nice. Yes,
would be cool.
Yes.
Altogether, Saturday is going to be a busy day for all of us.
Yes, it is.
Very exciting, exciting stuff. And when is that once again, Tanner?
August 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Drury Plaza Conference Center right behind Golden Corral here in Cape.
Right after my birthday, literally 2 days after my birthday, I'll be turning the big 5-0, and I'm hoping that everyone will
That's
come out.
That's not true.
Big 6-9, and everyone's going to come out there and celebrate with us.
Nice.
Nice. All right. Other than that, really quick, Tanner, you mentioned this before the show, and I also want to mention it. So Ghost Adventures, Scooby-Doo and the gang, some of our favorite people, they're coming out with a new series where they're actually going to go to people's houses now and investigate, as opposed to, you know, the historically haunted places that we're used to. But I guess after 30 seasons, you have to do something new to keep things fresh, Tanner, but you're excited about it.
I am, because that was one of the reasons why Ghost Hunters, the old Taps crew, I thought they were successful, because they were able to, you know, hey, we went to this house, nothing happened. We can't say definitively whether it is or not, but for us, we don't think so. You're good. And I think that lends to their credit as a team, because not everything is haunted.
Right. Except for Ghost Adventures, where everything's haunted.
Well, again, that's because they've been going to all these places.
How could you know? They run away as soon as it...
Well, that's the number one rule of a ghost hunter.
So I think with Ghost Adventures House Calls, as it's going to be called, I think that it's going to be interesting. We'll see if they ever come up with an investigation where they don't find anything. You know, I think that'll be the telltale sign of whether this is going to be good or not.
I think that Ghost Adventures, I think that as passionate as Zach Bacon's is about it, I assume if he's not telling the truth, he's also being played, because that guy is exceptionally dedicated to all of this, and to the point that, you know, you can bullshit people pretty easily, but he is a whole different level of it. I legitimately think that he thinks he's telling the truth, if nothing else. So
yep.
I'm also curious to see about where this goes. I'm excited to watch it. Ghost shows have become so diluted and just oversaturated in the past couple of years that
so
we got to do something.
I couldn't
different.
Tell, by the way, if you were saying diluted or deluded, and I thought both is good.
I meant both.
They're both accurate.
Both is alternate realities.
So Brandy's really big. Brandy's really big into cooking shows, and so Food Network is on Discovery Plus. She's like, there's also a bunch of paranormal stuff and true crime. And so I go in there looking, and first thing that pops up, as soon as you go into the paranormal, there's mountain monsters.
Yes. Yes. The next
thing is mountain monsters.
Huckleberry in the game.
Mountain monsters campfire or something like that.
Wait, what? I didn't know about this.
Yeah. One. Yeah. I don't know if it's a sequel or if it's like the aftershocks, like Ghost Adventures is.
Oh, my God.
And then there's Ghost Brothers.
Ghost Brothers is pretty good.
No,
it's
silly. I didn't know the Property Brothers died. How was I supposed to find out like this? That's awful.
You know what? That would be a whole lot better than what it actually is.
It almost have to be, wouldn't it? Ghost Brothers sounds like some shit you made up for Rick and Morty. Like,
all right, so there's two ways to take the Ghost Brothers thing. Either, because it's, I believe, three young black men who hunt ghosts. Either they were given that name by the network and it's terrible, or they came up with it because they like Ghostbusters and thought it was clever, in which case I approve. It depends on which way it went. Tanner, do you remember?
Also, they're getting paid, so if they're into it, I still approve.
Right. If whatever network gave them that name, that feels a little racist.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
The Ghostbusters. Well, you should have heard the original name, which we'll not say here.
Nope. No, we will not.
Do you remember there was an episode we did years ago where we actually talked? We like went down the list of all the different paranormal shows that were on like the Travel Channel.
I remember listening to that one.
Oh my God, it's embarrassing. And then I asked Scott Walter about it when he was on the show, and he was just like, "Yeah, I don't do those shows." Like,
yeah, he just hit you with the "Yeah, man, there's a lot of shows." Next question.
So then, on top of all of that, Brandy hits me with, "Oh yeah," because she sees the. What is it? The demon or whatever. So the Jack Osborne started doing the Gates of Hell or whatever.
Sure.
So, which I've heard good things about. I heard it was decent. I was like, oh yeah, it's Jack Osborne. She goes, oh, did you not see they're doing an Osborne family paranormal show?
Now you lost.
I was like, so you mean like Jack and Kelly go out and do it? She goes, no. Jack, Sharon, and Ozzy go out, and he's trying to prove to his parents that the paranormal is real. And I said,
no.
I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm out.
No. Yeah. I assumed you were going to tell me it was Jack Osborne waiting by his dad's bed for the ghost to pop out.
No, Ozzy is in the show.
The ghost of that headless bat is finally coming back to bite him in the ass.
Well, it can't. He ain't got no head.
You got to watch to find out how.
Oh, I actually, so Jack Osborne did have a show out a couple years ago that I watched. I think it was called like Haunted Highway or something like that. Paranormal Highway. It was something where they just like drove down the old, it was like Supernatural. They drove down the back streets of America and like found local haunts. I actually liked that show. I thought it was pretty interesting.
I like that idea. I would concept. Do a show like that.
And if it didn't exist, I'm kicking myself for giving that out for free on the air. So
we got to get on it right now. We got to start.
All right.
Man, when I was in radio, true story, Kirby Ray was like on watch for Ozzy to die. And I remember him being like, the day Ozzy dies, dude, that's the day I'm not coming in. That was 4 years ago. It ain't happened yet.
All right. We go now to our Ozzy watch correspondent, Kirby Ray, who's...
Hey, man.
Hey, he's still alive, man. Thank you, Kirby Ray. All right. With that, let's jump into the stories of the week. Of course, first off, you got to mention this. Last Tuesday was a big day for the UFO community because Congress was updated by military officials who are heading the Pentagon's new identification program, which I wrote to here in the list a little bit later. We'll get to it now because I really like this new name. It rolls off the tongue. It's the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group, or IAMSG.
Say that one more time.
IAMSG. Oh, yeah. Anyway, rolls off the tongue, like I said. So this was the first public house hearing on UFOs, or UAPs, as they're known now, since the 1960s. And depending on who you talk to, it was either fascinating or a complete joke. I'm not going to try to pronounce this guy's last name, and I'm the one that wrote it down. Oh, I'll try anyway. Ronald, you know, let's call him Moultrie.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay.
Ronald Moultrie, who is the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and the Security, who currently leads the UFO program, said that the biggest challenge they have is insufficient data. He says, insufficient data either on the event itself, the object itself, or insufficient data or plug-in with some other organization or agency has something in that space at that time is what most of these videos are. The stuff that we've been seeing, the triangle UFOs, they said are probably drones, that they found another video with similar things and that it was drones. A lot of this is just unexplained because they don't have the data to explain it, which I thought to myself, yeah, man, why didn't I think of that? You can't explain it because you don't have the data to explain it. What a concept. I'm glad we called Congress here to do this. Representative Andre Carson, who is a Democrat from Indiana and he's the chairman of the House panel, said the military needs to convince the public that it is now accepting of reported UFO sightings and that troops will be treated as witnesses, not as kooks. That is a quote. That is important because, from what I understand, there has only been about 144 official reports over the past, I think, like 10 plus years. And that has skyrocketed in the past couple of years, ever since around 2017, when Tom DeLonge, the best Blink-182 singer, and Hector Elizondo, or Luis Elizondo, I always get confused. Luis Elizondo, who used to head up the old department, they came out with the blockbuster report, and all the evidence started coming out about UFOs, UAPs, and are they real? And the government said, yes, they are real, and we don't know what they are. This has become mainstream. It has become pop culture. I mean, this is all over the news channels. There for a while, it was on every news channel, you may remember, until, as the 24-hour news cycle does, it found something new to talk about. Something, I don't know, babies are missing or something. There's formula missing.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During this hearing, lawmakers asked whether any of the objects were sending out unusual signals or apparent communications. And Scott Bray, who's the Deputy Director of Naval Intelligence, who headed the task force that preceded the Pentagon's new office, said, we have detected no emanations that would suggest it's anything non-terrestrial in origin. So they're standing by their take that we don't know what this is, but it's not, we have no evidence that this is extraterrestrial. Which, again, if you've been listening to the show for however many years now, you will know that that has always been our stance on this, is that these are not necessarily extraterrestrial in origin, Hunter. These are just things that we cannot explain and that they need to be taken seriously.
Right. One of the things that I think is a real standout from here is that it's like we're getting, and I know it's not from the same people, but we're getting two sides of a similar coin that if they could put the peanut butter and the jelly together, it'd be great. You got one set of people saying, or at least one person saying, we don't have enough data. We have insufficient data to really say specifically what we're seeing. We have these little clips here and there. And yeah, some of them match up, but some of them don't. They're not from the same place. There's not enough to watch. There's nothing outside of just video in a lot of cases. And then you have people coming along later in this, this Andre Carson, who said, you know, I hope it doesn't take Congress another 50 years to hold another one of these things because transparency is desperately needed.
Desperately.
And to me, it's like, you guys are speaking the same language, man.
Right.
You guys want us to share what we have in the community, but the community needs you to share what you have as well. And I understand, I get it, you know, bureaucracy, red tape, stuff gets tied up. But FOIA is not doing everything at this point. Some of this stuff has got to be, like you said, these kind of hearings and the things that get released along with them are going to be critical to matching up the missing pieces. We have one side, they have the other. Hopefully there's not too many more sides to it.
Well, it is the United States government, and it's people who are fluent in the X-Files. We know how bad that can be. This particular group, by the way, was created last year when Congress passed a law requiring a formal body in the Defense Department dedicated to probing what it calls unidentified aerial phenomenon and releasing regular reports. And that is what I think this guy's talked about, is releasing regular reports, not waiting another, five decades to talk about this once again. But not everybody.
You're talking timeliness. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead.
I'm just saying, you're talking timeliness is one of the hugest issues with the way that information is released. It's not just what you won't share with us. It's this is what we saw 20 years ago.
Right.
Okay. What are we supposed to do with that? I mean, you're getting reports from the community on a regular basis. Yeah, that's the thing, is again, you're holding some of the cards, and these guys have some of the rest of them, and hopefully there aren't many others, but if you at least put your cards together, maybe you can figure out what the missing pieces are in between there.
And not everybody is happy with the hearing. In fact, a lot of people aren't happy with it. A lot of people were calling it a joke, including a fellow congressman and a Republican. This surprised me. Tim Burchett, who, by the way, I found out was the former mayor of Knox. What is it? Knox.
Knox County.
Knox County. Knox Tennessee, County.
Where Jacobs is.
Where Kane resides. So you know you can take this guy.
Oh, no. Glenn Jacobs does.
Glenn Jacobs. Not
that's
Kane.
True. Sorry.
Kane died years ago.
He called the UFO hearing a total joke. He said the UFO hearing this morning was a total joke. We should have heard from people who could talk about things they'd personally seen, but instead the witnesses were government officials with limited knowledge who couldn't give real answers to serious questions, which is true. A lot of the people they called, they didn't call any of the pilots or any of these actual witnesses to talk about it. They called on quote-unquote experts who basically showed video and, you know, talked about these incidents without actually talking to the people that lived through them. And even though a lot of these videos were kind of dismissed or could be explained with, you know, flimsy explanations, if you want to believe that. I mean, they're basically just throwing a line out and see what they can catch.
But, leather balloon, gas right. Trapped in a pocket from Venus.
Drones. But there was, as I put in the notes, one standout video from the cockpit of a fighter jet where a spherical shaped object zipped by the camera so quickly, staff members at the hearing couldn't freeze the video at the right time because they were trying to show a still image of the object. Despite repeated attempts, they failed to do so. And that was one of the big, like, gotcha moments, because that was something they could not explain. Prior to that meeting, Burchett also claimed that wreckage, this is my favorite thing, claimed that wreckage from the UFO seen flying over the U.S. had already been recovered. He told The Sun Online, which is a, they checked and rechecked the facts, "I've been told by multiple sources we have recovered something from these crafts or objects. All we do is cover up. Let's just be transparent. What is wrong with telling the world and saying, quote, we got this, we are going to share it, and we can figure out what it is together?" Okay, a couple things on that, first off. One, when you say things like, "I've been told by multiple sources we've recovered something," and you don't provide any of those sources, you sound like Donald Trump. You sound like Donald Trump saying, "A lot of people told me this," because you've got nothing
many
to back it up.
Many people are saying.
Many people are saying.
Everyone's saying it.
Everyone knows. And asking the world, "We got this, we're going to share it, why can't we figure this out together?" Dude, we can't figure anything out together in the world. There's very little that we agree on. You really think that we're going to come together and solve the UFO problem together? That ain't going to happen, man. That ain't going to happen. Tanner, what's your take on this whole hearing?
So, several takes. My first thing is, one of two things are happening here. Either the information that they're releasing to these congressmen isn't complete, which I'm leaning more towards, honestly, or things like body recoveries from like anything that's been reported over the years doesn't exist, because these congressmen are asking for more evidence before they can actually definitively say anything. And I feel like if there's a body recovered in it and that information is in one of these reports, then that is the definitive answer to what's going on. So either those body recoveries haven't happened, or they're just being withheld, or just honestly, the congressmen don't want to put that information out there. This is all just a big thing to try to tide over the people who are out there, you know, wanting to know the truth, people like us. You know, this is,
we're bastards.
This is just a cover, and maybe it's something as simple as these congressmen are trying to make these other entities look bad. You know, it's all a political ploy at the same time. So I don't know. I don't know. Ever since all the declassification of all this stuff has been coming out over the last, 2 years now?
Yeah. 5 years. 5 years, Tanner. It's been 5 years.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, enjoy that little slice of existentialism.
Feel old yet? Anyway.
Do you see the beard?
I do. I think it's very distinguished. So,
oh, thank you.
Someone had posed a question, and I never thought of this before, and it really stuck with me. The question was talking about UFO. This Tim Burchett talking about UFO crash and recovery. If you've got a race of people or beings that have the technology to send these ships across light years to travel through space and time and all whatever to get here, what are the odds that these ships, with all of their technology and all of their capabilities, crash? And that's a good question. What are the chances that this ship...
Or if they do, that there's not some sort of, you know, recovery system, there's not some kind of, you know, immediate breakdown. Right. There's got to be some way of, this to me often lends itself to this idea that we make things we don't understand too much like us.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not just talking fiction, but I think fiction's a great example. Obviously, when you have, filmed, television, TV versions of science fiction, often everything is bipedal, two eyes, nose, and a mouth. And that's just because you have human actors playing them. Obviously, then you have CGI that allows you to do other things. But even then, how often are they bipedal? Because let's get real, fictionally, they want them to have sex with the humans. So that's...
Yes.
They got to be compatible, right?
Yes.
I think because of stuff like that, we make these things that very well might be real too human. We get too into the idea that this is as good as it gets. When we know good and well that it's not.
We're garbage.
The human body is a design disaster. The back alone
unless you are 90s Fabio or Kate Upton at any point in your life, the human body is garbage.
And even then, both of their backs were hurting, I promise you. Yes. That's what I'm saying. The general design does not work.
Especially Fabio
got hit in the head by a goose.
Oh, it was a seagull. I'm pretty sure. I saw the same thing.
It was some sort
of... I don't know, maybe it was.
It was some sort of flighted...
Roller coaster.
Bloody
as hell.
My point on this, though, and I'll finish off with this, is what it has always been, that I'm glad that they're taking these things seriously. It's a slow... process. It is extremely slow process, but these things, whether they are extraterrestrial in nature, which I hope they are, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I hope they are extraterrestrial in nature, or just some other country or some organization that has technology that beats us. I mean, if they're flying around in our airspace, again, I've hammered this home a million times, we need to know about it. This could be a danger to us, and we need to know more about it. So I'm glad that they're taking it seriously. I'm glad they're going to report more of it. There should be no shame in reporting it because, again, this is national security, whether it's alien or not. But hey, we'll keep you updated on it. Speaking of UFOs, I got some UFO facts here. If you want more UFOs, some of this stuff you may or may not know, Hunter, Tanner, I'm going to read a couple of these off real quick and see which ones you know. This is another one of our favorite segments on the show called Shannon's Trivia, where Shannon talks about a couple of things that you may or may not have heard of. Today is about UFOs. A couple of these things here. Did you know that the term UFO was first used in the 1950s in reference to reports from the U.S. Air Force and was coined in 1953 specifically by writer Donald Kehoe in an issue of Airline Pilot when talking about reports from Air Technical Intelligence Centers? I didn't know that.
I did not, but I do now.
The term UFO doesn't refer to aliens, just flying objects. Yes, thank you.
Obviously.
We've said that a million times. Foo Fighters. What? The Foo Fighters band. They got their name from an old term referring to UFO-like objects in World War II. I did know that. I did know that. They used to call UFOs in World War II Foo Fighters, and that's where they got their name. A misquoted pilot brought the term flying saucer into the public consciousness. Pilot Kenneth Arnold, who you may remember, I think one of the most infamous UFO pictures, I believe, in history, of either he had a quote on it or he took the picture. I forget what it is. But when he was talking about it, he called it a flying saucer, and then that just stuck. That just absolutely stuck. Life magazine wrote about UFOs, but UFOs have been written about for centuries. And I didn't know this, Tanner. Did you know this? That there was a UFO battle reported in 16th century Europe.
I did not, actually.
I didn't either, but... apparently, people living in Germany and Switzerland reported seeing strangely shaped objects doing aerial battle and flying around.
Okay, I've got a little UFO fact for you.
Okay.
And I may have talked about this before on the show, but we all know about the Phoenix Lights. We've heard of this story, correct?
Yeah.
Do you know who the pilot was that called in the incident?
Harrison Ford.
No.
Kurt Russell.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I was joking. It really is Kurt Russell. Yeah.
Kurt Russell was the pilot who called in the original call in for the Phoenix Lights.
I actually did know that because Kurt Russell has been pretty obsessed with it. So, yeah. Good actor, too.
He's not going to let it go, man.
All right. So that's your little bit of trivia for tonight here on I Wanna Believe. Let's move on, though. Hunter, I like this story. I like this story.
I've been perusing this story, and I like this story a lot. So before I start, here's what I need you to do when you're listening. Unless it's on your phone and it's going to mess you up, get your calendar out, because some important dates are coming up that you're going to want to know for later on this year. Because here's the deal. If you're not on TikTok, TikTok is now not only where you find the hottest dances and the best new recipes and the best ASMR, but it's also where you can find out what's happening in the future.
Yeah.
Somebody on TikTok from 2236, allegedly, has issued a stark warning to their followers, including a claim that Europe is going to be struck by a deadly meteor sometime this autumn. You know this is real, Shannon, because their screen name is at Real TikTok Time Traveler, and you can't just lie on the internet.
You can't.
That's not allowed. You can't do it.
He's going to get a blue check mark at some point and make us all feel stupid.
He also has claimed that humans will make contact with an alien race this summer, so there you go. I don't know why we're questioning any of this. We'll know before the conference.
Yeah.
There's a hacker that is going to close down millions of social media accounts because they're against the platform.
Elon Musk.
Some of his warnings. Yeah, probably. Some of his warnings have said, quote, many people still don't believe me. I am a real time traveler from the year 2236, and I have come to this date and time to warn you about upcoming events this year. So, again, just to clarify, on July 7th, we will be contacting alien species for the first time. They are called Arzax, A-R-Z-A-X. And we'll find them on the south side of Alaska in the U.S. It's always the south side, man. That's where all the shit's going.
You know.
It's always in the south side.
Also, it's always in Alaska. Why?
All the aliens that travel to Alaska and hang out there, especially from Arzax.
You know how them Arzaks are.
You know them Arzaxians.
You know how it is. About a month later, a month and change, on August 13th, a hacker by the name of Stack, S-T-A-K, is going to delete over 36.7 million TikTok accounts due to their strong beliefs against social media. So we get the aliens, but a month later, TikTok is over.
Stack takes it out.
You take the good with the bad. Look, and then on October 12th, we get a little break in September, which is great.
That's good.
On October 12th, though, deadly meteor, which has a name, the Drachnoids. I assumed that was the aliens.
I thought that was the aliens, too. Maybe it's their spaceship.
Maybe they ride it. Yeah. It's going to hit Europe and cause, and I quote, many casualties. Now, as you can imagine, some people on TikTok have had reactions to this, which are all bad. Some of them are convinced that these warnings are going to come true and said things like, please don't wish bad on the earth. That'll fix it.
They feel vulnerable.
one of them said, quote, to be honest, the government going to cover up aliens, so it might be true. Yeah, that's good logic.
That's true.
One of them, for the record, came to the time traveler's defense about some warnings not coming true, saying, well, maybe by warning us, he's changing the events and dates. IDK, haha. Oh, I hate that.
Tanner's got a finger in the air now. Yeah.
That has been a theory when it comes to time travel for God knows how long.
It's not a theory. That's not how that works. It is a hypothesis at best, and it's a bad one all the way around.
You know what I mean, though. So what was the name of the so-called time traveler that would constantly call in to either George Norrie or Art Bell?
I don't remember.
John Titor,
yeah. So some of the things he claimed came true, some of them didn't. And so the working hypothesis was by him revealing some of these events changed them from happening.
Well, hold on. You just said some came true, some didn't. So by revealing it, wouldn't none of them have come true?
Well, because supposedly some of the ones that didn't come true were negative things.
Well, again, this is also the same thing that you get.
It is
convenience at convenience's finest.
And
if it didn't happen, that's just because this thing happened. And don't worry, this is the same thing you get from the religious leaders that go, "Well, the world's going to end in 2012." Well, it didn't end then because we misinterpreted it. Well, it actually did end for some people then. Right. But here's this thing. Well, it turns out that there's always a reason. There's always an excuse.
Podzilla 1985 wants to mention and stress the fact that these are not the beliefs of one Tanner Calvert. He is just playing devil's advocate with this, because I know he said it a second ago. I want to make sure it was heard. What I hate about that theory is my stupid brain that wants to believe can make it make sense. Well, that makes sense. If he warns us about it, then we'll avoid it. But like, that's not how it works, man. Like, I could say Kate Upton. You know what? Kate Upton's actually kind of a bitch, I think. And by me saying that, I have now prevented me from marrying Kate Upton in the future. So that's the only reason we're not together.
Oh, that's what stopped
him. That's you can't prove it's not.
You've name dropped that twice tonight. We're gonna talk later. time travel. We have discussed this a couple of different times on the show. Time travel, in the sense that we understood it, this is again another classic example of pop culture and science fiction shaping the way that people think the real world works. Time travel in the way that you understand it from all your favorite stuff, from Terminator to Back to the Future and all that, it doesn't work. No. It does not work like that. It cannot, in any physical sense that we understand, work in the way that it does. And I know you want to believe. This is the crux of the show. This is one of those things that I think people want to believe more than anything, because, my God, what could we accomplish if we could just go back and fix our mistakes?
Awful things.
It does not work like that. Right. And this is not a, well, we're getting close. We're not. Nobody's working on this, and even if they were, they're getting closer to nothing.
I remember
other things out there. That's one thing, but literally reshaping time, it ain't gonna happen, man. You gotta let it slide.
The only way I feel that time travel, Sander, I'll get right to you. I promise, I'm not gonna forget you. The only way I could see time travel actually existing is the Back to the Future theory, that every time you change something, it creates a alternate timeline. You can't have one timeline where you can go back and change things. That doesn't work that way. But could you change something and then create a fractured universe? Maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of things that don't make sense to me about the existence of life in general. So it's a possibility. Sure. I think that is a possibility. Why not? But I'm not going to go back in time and like stop my mom from going to, you know, fucking St. Francis and dying. That's never going to happen on this timeline. Could a different...
Well, probably because no matter what you do, the Drachnoids is coming for us.
Well, if they don't, the Arzax are going to stop me in my tracks. Tanner, what you got?
So there was a documentary I was watching, and I can't remember who said it, but they said the idea of time travel, like Hunter said, the idea of time travel that we're thinking, that most people think of, is just ridiculous and non-existent and will never exist. Now, the idea of time travel in this essence is real. Say you have a ship that's fast enough to travel at long distances in space. The solar system is expanding out in a certain direction. Now, if you were able to travel in a ship against the expansion, like going back where it all started, that in essence is traveling back in time, because you'd be traveling back to the point of creation. So that is, in essence, the only true form of time travel.
That's not true. When Lindsay goes to Pennsylvania next week, that's time travel. She's going forward an hour.
I hate him. I'm going to kill him.
Don't worry. He'll take himself out.
The whole black hole stuff and you know, variations of what you were just talking about, that is the most literal version of that we're going to get. But to me, that's it's not exactly the same, and I don't mean to be insulting.
Well,
but
no,
it's also kind of like the everyone's a shapeshifter. You want to be able to shapeshift? I'm shapeshifting right now. I just can only do it really slow and one time into an older person, and eventually that will end. On a very literal sense, you can do that, but it accomplishes nothing.
The point of it was that is the only true form of time travel that exists in the world.
Right.
So far. I like to believe this.
And even then, exists is a strong word, because we cannot accomplish that.
Theoretically exists.
I like to believe that someday they'll perfect time travel. And the problem is that then people will get the technology and they'll travel back in time to commit crimes and steal things. So they'll have don't interrupt me. They'll create a time force to stop it. And
I knew it was coming.
And there'll be time cops. And one of those time cops will be Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I'm moving past it. So there's also been hypothesis put forward that you can only move forward in time. You cannot go back.
Yeah, it's called time.
Time.
What the fuck? No, I get what you're saying, Tanner. Tanner, I get what you're saying.
I think to draw this all back to the initial point,
TikTok.
This person is not real.
No,
this is
No, it's a real person.
This is not happening.
He's just not a real time.
It's a Russian bot.
Hunter,
no, I don't know that.
What if he would have had, like, if he would have had just time, what was his name? If he would have just had his
real time traveling TikToker.
If it would have just been TikTok time traveler, I wouldn't have believed it. But the fact that he had real in front of it, like that sways me.
I think he's probably using that loose definition of, like, yeah, I'm traveling through time very slowly at the same rate that all the rest of you are. And I am just aware of these upcoming things. I gotta give this much. All right, it's at least mildly creative. I do like the one deleting all the social media accounts. I think that's a real blatant grab at like, hey, please pay attention to me because you obviously care about this thing since we're on this platform.
Yeah.
The rest of them are a little silly, like the names of the alien species, the Arzax, the Drachnoids. I still think those two must have gotten mixed up.
Yeah.
There's no way that the Drachnoids is the name of a meteor. That makes no sense.
Maybe it's multiple meteors.
That would
it's
be bad.
Not. It says on October 12th there will be a deadly meteor. There's one, and it has a plural name, and that's where you lost me.
Well, Hunter, maybe in the future, maybe in the future they've reversed it, and plural is now singular, and singular is plural.
And 4 months from now.
And also, they wear shoes on their head and hats on their butts.
Shannon, you ever see a man throw away his shoes?
Yes, once. Okay, let's move on past time travel. Now this, all right, so this was a last minute edition and it's a long story, so I'm gonna try to get through it. I'm gonna just read it from as I wrote it because I went and I chopped this thing up. This was from multiple stories. This is very interesting to me because this is from an area not terribly far from here near Chicago. Tanner, you said you've been to one of these areas yourself. So you can shed a little bit of light on it. So here's the story. You all have heard about the Mothman. We've talked about it. It's one of our favorite enemies in Fallout 76. The Mothman is a story from Point Pleasant. There was sightings. There was a bridge collapse. It was a whole thing. Go read about it. Well, Manuel, I don't know, Navarrete of UFO Clearinghouse, which again, it doesn't get bigger than that, recently received the following report from a woman who claimed that she and her friend encountered a creature with, quote, bright red eyes and a big black body. Oh, I hated saying that. While parked at a construction site near Chicago's O'Hare International Airport at around 10 p.m. on March 5th. March 5th, remember that. She says, I was out driving around with a guy I had just started talking to. We were out by the airport just cruising around, listening to music and getting to know one another. We decided to park to smoke some bud, and one thing led to another. I didn't read that part when I was writing it down. We were in the back seat when he looked up and started screaming, what the fuck? Over and over again. It was then that we felt like something bumped into the side of the car, like when someone slammed up on the side of your ride. Jesus Christ. I sat up and saw a pair of bright red eyes and a big black body, god damn it, looking into the driver's side window into the back seat. It scared the hell out of both of us, and we both started screaming out loud. This thing kept looking into the car, and then it just disappeared. A security guard shows up, then two more show up. They made us get out of the car and started asking why we were there. But after looking at us, they started asking what we had seen. When we told them, they screamed at us to get dressed and leave, which I guess means they were one thing had led to another. So if it was just that, and it goes on, Navarrete said that after some convincing, he was able to speak with the witness over the phone, whom he described as a 20-year-old Hispanic woman. Her companion that evening, he said, was a 26-year-old man, also Hispanic. She described the entity as being tall and thinly built with bright red eyes that were, quote, glowing. She also described feeling the car moves as if someone had slammed against the side of it, followed by her partner starting to scream. The aforementioned what the fuck over and over and over again. The witness described the entity as bending down to peer into the window, and from the brief glimpse she saw of it when she sat up, described it as owl-like. Her partner told that it looked like its eyes were set into the entity's shoulders. The witness stated that the creature was gone within a few seconds, and almost immediately the security guards arrived. So if that was the only story there, I would have been like, okay, well, whatever. But it goes on, because apparently O'Hare International Airport has been the epicenter of recent winged humanoid sightings in the Lake Michigan Mothman investigation, with over a dozen sighting reports coming from the airport itself since August of 2019, and many more reported in the surrounding communities. Reports from the larger investigations have come from every state bordering Lake Michigan and date back to 1957. And it goes on. This is where it gets interesting. On April 9th, at approximately 11 p.m., a woman and several relatives saw a winged humanoid perched atop a nearby garage during a family birthday party. The witness says, we were at my niece's birthday party and I joined some family members outside for a drink and to smoke a cigarette. Hopefully it was just a cigarette. We were standing behind the garage when my cousin got everyone's attention and pointed toward the neighbor's garage. There on top of the garage was what looked like a really thin man, except he was hunched over and had extremely long arms, freakishly long arms, and that he was propping himself up with. He stood there, hunched over on his knuckles, looking at us with these bright red glowy eyes that did not blink. He had a pair of large wings that seemed to come out from his back and were slowly moving. They looked like he was slowly moving them up and down while he was standing there looking at us. It stood there looking at us for what seemed like 30 seconds before it started flapping its wings, jumped off the garage, and flew away. Now, in addition to that witness, Navarrete said that he also spoke with a number of the other witnesses involved, including her uncle, 49, and three cousins, 18, 22, and 27, all of whom reportedly told the same story. And finally, for now, I put, UFO Clearinghouse received a report that a man spotted the same creature on April 28th. He said, I was at work Thursday night. I had just brought back a man lift from a construction site that we had picked up and brought back to the yard. I had just driven the man lift off of the trailer and was about to get back into the truck to park it when I saw some movement from the back of the yard. I grabbed a flashlight and headed back towards the storage containers that are kept in the back. I saw something on top of the container and I shined the light on it and asked them what the hell they were doing back there and said I was going to call the police so they didn't get out. I kept walking toward them and yelling when I heard a series of clicks, rapid fire clicks and what sounded like chirping. I'm a bit of a history buff, and back in World War II, U.S. troops used to carry these clickers called crickets that they used to communicate with one another. This sounded like those, but faster and louder, same pitch and tone. I was about 12 feet from the containers when I looked up and met with a pair of red eyes that was staring directly at me. These were attached to what looked like a tall being that must have been at least 6 to 7 feet tall, and looked like a giant man-bat kind of thing. I lost my shit and started backing up while trying not to scream like a little girl. So Tanner, what we've got here, and this is just three that I picked out, apparently there are more. Multiple sightings of a creature much like the Mothman, all in the same area of northern Illinois, in the Chicago area and around it, including Elk Grove, which is where the last one took place, where you said you've been to, right?
Yes, yeah. Elk Grove is a very popular basketball town in the state of Illinois. They've, you know, a lot of state championships. So I've been up there to play, been up to watch them. This story is probably the one that interests me the most tonight. Not only because it's semi-local, but it kind of explores the idea of cryptids, you know, not being just solely for one area. Like, everybody knows the Mothman is that's Virginia, West Virginia, that area. But, you know, what if there's Mothman other places? You know, this, the fact that you've got these, all these different people, especially on close, similar dates, who are not communicating with other people, who are having corroborating stories, this, you know, it's interesting,
yeah,
to say the least.
That's the start of something. That's how these things go, is you have multiple witness, multiple places who all see the same thing. And back in the 50s and 60s, that was a major story. Nowadays, of course, if you don't have a video, or if you're not on TikTok, no one really cares. But that is an interesting start to what could be. It could be the Mothman. It could be a whole new cryptid. Who knows?
Yeah. And you know, I'd be interested in going back and looking at all these different reports from all these years, just to see, you know, personally, I want to see how close they are to each other. And by doing that, you'll probably end up running into different stories from other parts of the state or surrounding states of similar creatures. And that ends up opening a whole black hole of things. And it just, it turns fun. And also terrifying, because you, what, like I said, what the fuck is this? So I don't know. This is probably the most interesting story for tonight for me.
I also find it interesting. I think UFOs have been my passion since I was a kid. So aliens and extraterrestrials are always going to be my jam. Cryptids generally, unless it's something scary, I don't particularly find, like, you guys know how I feel about Bigfoot. You know, I don't like Bigfoot. But this, on the other hand, this is interesting, because this thing sounds terrifying. It's a giant, I mean, it's from the sound of it, Hunter, it sounds like literal Mothman we've seen in Fallout 76. It's just a giant owl-like creature with its eyes sunken into its shoulders, staring at you and terrifying you.
Yeah, my whole cryptid thing has always been, I'm firmly of the belief that there are things out there we don't, like, fully, you know about. We don't understand who or what they are, what they're you know, comprised of. This, like you said, this is like the prototype for the next kind of big thing there, when you get multiple accounts very similar. So I like that for some validity, definitely. I'm generally always of the opinion that, look, man, there's a lot of weird anomalies in the world, right? They almost all boil down to some genetic variation of a real normal thing that we know about that's just a little bit odd. You know, how many times have we seen actual evidence of animals born with multiple heads?
One
and as a not a great example, but you know what I mean. So I'm fully content to believe that, yeah, there's an anomalous thing out there that, you know, there are species of bats that are like 5 feet tall, man. That's, who knows? Maybe one of them got a little overgrown and it happens to be something similar to that. I don't know.
Or COVID. Like, maybe it's
that could be it.
Exactly. You know, that caused COVID.
Well, to lend credit to Hunter's argument, the fact that the platypus for years was technically a cryptid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody just thought
thought it was
on it, basically.
Oh yeah, they thought, oh no, that's got to be fake. That didn't exist. Someone sewed a duck bill on a beaver.
It was God. He did that. He was like, yeah, you know what? It's fine.
Give that beaver
a bill.
I got these
spare parts over here. Make him poisonous while you're at it.
It's an IKEA furniture. You always have some spare stuff. So just, put it together.
Poisonous, venomous. I think he's venomous. Poisonous would be if you ate him and you died.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Venomous is he injects the,
Tanner, do you know what the two medically significant spiders in the United States are?
Brown recluse and black widow.
And do you know the difference between them?
Brown recluses
are in your house, and the black widows aren't.
They can both be in your house. Oh, my house specifically? Yeah.
Your house, yeah.
Brown recluse has the violin shape on the back, and then the black widow has the red.
Black widow's really more into the fiddle.
Well, I was going to say that the brown recluse has, to put it in like role-playing terms, has necrotic damage, and the brown recluse, or the black widow uses neurological damage. That's how they get you. So my point is we're talking about cryptids. The cryptid that has always, I know it doesn't exist, but it used to exist, that has scared me the most, and I'm scared that there still exists out there somewhere, is a giant spider. And I'm not even afraid of spiders, but you see every video game, every MMORPG.
Pretty big ones, man.
Yeah, but no, I'm talking like horse-sized spiders. Like we'd be doing a show called It's Spider Time with a giant spider. And like that has always freaked me out. Because, again, I'm not afraid of spiders. But if I saw a spider bigger than my car, I would be afraid of it.
But he's not that big. I was going to say the Goliath bird eater is pretty big. I couldn't think of his name. But it's like about a foot wide in terms of its legs and such. Yeah,
that's pretty big.
It's up there. It's big enough to be like, oh, that's not okay. I don't really care to see that.
Of cryptid stories that kind of freak me out, thinking, that could be something too. And I don't, this may not even fall underneath the cryptid moniker, but this whole theory of the Megalodon still being out there, that one terrifies me because, we've explored less than 2% of the ocean, so Megalodon can still just be out there, and that's fucking terrifying.
Well, here, I've got I've got news for you, Tanner. You can avoid the Megalodon by not going out into the water.
You just don't do it. Just don't go out there.
Just don't go out there.
I was wondering, considering we have a spider that does necrotic damage and a spider that does neurological damage, Tanner, where is the spider that does the emotional damage?
Oh, my God. Hey, speaking of... Tanner?
Speaking of bullshit, this is from our very own... KFES 12.
Yeah.
It sure is.
Mm-hmm. And we hinted at this at the beginning of the episode. More than 1,000 people have shown up in Southern Illinois to the Southern Illinois Spiritual and Psychic Festival in Marion this weekend. Nothing good ever happens in Marion. It features roughly 60 vendors that specialize in tarot readings, palmistry, mediums, art, and more. The people they spoke with say it's great to see this event. See the event grow interest over the years. Apparently, this isn't the first time they've done this. I've never heard of it.
5 years. This is the fifth year.
Kelly Kendrick Tyson is a tarot reader with Petals and Thorns Tarot. She is also the organizer of the event. Our first year, we were like 600, Tyson said. So it's grown exponentially over the years and continues to grow in. And the wonderful thing is every year vendors come or the festival growers come, people build friendships. They sure do. And it really connects people within the community as well. Says psychic medium, Matt Skirret. That made him cool. Because you get local people and you get people from surrounding states, you even get people traveling from hours away. It really connects people within the community. Oh, wait, I already read that. We also talked with Stephanie White with Infinite Intentions, Jim Works, who sells an array of different types of crystals, Shannon, and other items.
No, I stay away from them.
I think it's the movement. I think people are trying to find alternative ways to heal themselves, and I think everybody should explore it. And I'm just really happy to be here and be a part of it.
And it's the fifth year. So really quick, all right. So unpopular opinion, not with you guys, because I'm sure you'll agree with it, but unpopular opinion with a lot of maybe some people that are listening to the show. I think the whole crystals thing is stupid. Like I don't believe in it. And you know what? That's again, it's just my opinion. I could be wrong. So writing death messages, just know that I personally don't believe in crystals. I don't believe in psychics. I don't believe in mediums. I don't believe in tarot cards. I don't believe any of that stuff. That's just me.
I'm 100% with you. Here's what I will say on the opposite side of that though. If these things make you feel better and they're not hurting anybody else, and you're not profiting off of them by ultimately hurting other people.
Yes.
Do your thing, man. That's, I don't care. Like I have some, how have I diplomatically put this in the past? Coworkers, who are super into crystals. Love them. Like it's the greatest thing they've ever had. They carry them with them. They know what each one of them does, what they're all good for.
Right.
They will, you know, they do the thing. I don't know if they like rub them or they hold them or whatever the thing is that they do that helps them, like, you know, gain their you know, ability. I don't know what the hell, how you call it. I don't know what you do. I don't know enough about it to answer questions like that, but none of that hurts me. Mm. None of that bothers anyone around them, and it makes the person doing it feel better. Dope. That does not bother me in any way, shape, or form. I'm not into it. It does nothing for me. I don't have it. I'm with Shannon on this. I have no belief in any of this stuff, and it does nothing for me. What I meant before was when you now start breaking up chunks of concrete from the old abandoned parking lot and going, this is, you know, selenite quartz, and it's good for healing the spirit, and selling it to people for $700 a chunk.
Yeah,
now we have a problem. It's the same with mediums and psychics. We've talked about that at this point.
That's where I was going to go with it. I agree with you on there, because I know some people who really believe in crystals. I actually have a couple crystals that have been given to me by people, and I would not insult them and say, you know, what you're doing is wrong. I'm saying is I don't believe it necessarily, but I still have them, and I sometimes carry them with me because I don't know everything. Like that, I think that you guys should realize that. Like whenever I give an opinion on here and I say I don't believe in that, that is much like the UFOs at the beginning. It's based on the limited data that I have, so I could change my mind on it if I am proven wrong. So you can always prove me wrong. But the one thing that I really agree with you on is when it comes to psychics and the crystals and stuff like that, the difference is, yeah, people that make these crystals or that have these crystals and they give them out, they truly believe in what they're doing. And maybe some psychics truly believe that what they're doing is real. But every psychic that I've ever seen, all the big ones, all the celebrities, they're in it to make money, and they exploit people who are hurting or desperate. And that is despicable. And I will always hate that, and I will always preach against it.
Yep. Like, the crystals thing, I never got into. Again, like Hunter says, if it floats your boat, go ahead. I don't believe in psychics. Mediums are a little different. I do believe there are people out there who are sensitive to things.
For the record, simply, my jury is out on mediums still. I'm weighing my options, but I agree with you on psychics. Bullshit.
So, and the only reason, like I've had experiences with people who are sensitive to things like this. But one of my biggest arguments in favor of them is, the whole hypothesis that children are sensitive to the paranormal. Children have imaginary friends that you know, that imaginary friend could be something paranormal happening with them. That when you have parents who are, you know, that's once they get to a certain point in age, where you're too old for an imaginary friend. Well, then shit's kind of shuts down then. It stops happening. Or you have parents who are very open-minded and said, no, this is, you know, look into this. Pay attention to these things happening. And that person becomes more open-minded with things, and they're actually able to feel things and notice things that closed-minded people can't. I think that absolutely exists. I mean, because there's a lot of people out there who can witness these things and feel these things who are not trying to make money. And, you know, I think there's something to it. You know, I know I'm in the minority on that thought with, you know, a lot of people. But, you know, I've seen things that I can't explain. It's not enough evidence for me to try to argue about it, but, you know, it was enough to make me a believer.
I will politely agree to disagree, because I don't want to like argue against the things that you believe, because, you know, again, I don't know everything. I have not seen that evidence. And the only thing I've ever seen when it comes to stuff like this is the greedy and selfish people who manipulate for profit or fame or whatever it is. So I want to be proven wrong, because like the name of the show is I Want to Believe, you know?
Yeah, and I will...
Yes.
The boy loves him some Chip Coffee.
I like Chip Coffee as a person, and I find him entertaining. And I want to believe. I mean, there are a couple psychics that, I don't know, maybe it's just because they're on TV that I'm a little more lenient on. So there's that one, what was that show called? The Dead Files? And I forget her name, but like, if you believe what that show was pushing forward, it was very convincing that she really knew her shit. But that's also a television show. So, like, if you were to ask me, do I believe in it per se? Probably not, even though I liked the show and I enjoyed watching it. You would have to have someone come to me and tell me things that no one else would know without cold reading me or anything like that for me to go, okay, I legitimately believe you. The fact Hunter, what was the name of the magician that was always testing psychics? I forget his name.
Amazing Randy. What the hell was his?
I can't.
It's not Uri Geller. That's the one that he dealt with.
Yeah, that's the Spoonbender. Anyway, you all know what I'm talking about. The fact that he had a, you know, prove me wrong and I'll give you $1 million, and no one ever did it in all the years he was alive.
Was it James Randy?
James Randy.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me too, the time traveling thing. Sorry to double back to that really quickly. In a similar vein, Stephen Hawking, before he passed, had you remember he had the birthday party. Yeah, he had the party for the time travelers to welcome them. He only sent out the invites days afterward. Nobody showed up. Nobody came. Explain that. Why wouldn't they?
Chris Angel, during that famous or there was some show where they were dealing with like magicians and stuff like that. One of the magicians claimed that he could speak to the dead and he could predict the future. And Chris Angel took such an offense to that he argued the guy down, made him look like an idiot, and then handed him a envelope, you know, a sealed envelope, and said, if you could tell me what's in that envelope, I'll give you like, you know, millions of dollars. And the guy couldn't do it. So when he opened up the envelope and showed what was inside, it was a piece of paper. It had 9/11 written on it. And he was like, if people like you existed, then this wouldn't have happened. You know, like things like this wouldn't happen if psychics actually existed.
And this, to me, follows the same vein as the time travel story. You bring these things together. There's always an excuse. Well, I can't predict something that big. It was such an unstable event. There was so much calamity. There's always a reason. Right. There's always an excuse. To me, the end all be all on this stuff is this. I understand what Tanner's saying about the power of belief. I certainly do believe in the power of belief. People can do amazing things by allowing themselves to believe they can and really truly getting into that. I think it ends at a certain point, though. There is an end cap for that. There's only so far that goes. Because the human body is capable of, even though it is designed horribly, it's capable of a lot of other things. You know, we hear the stories about mothers with the adrenaline rush and lifting picking a car off their kid. Yeah. I think the brain obviously then has to work the same way, because there are examples of that being the case, too. But it's finite. It is temporary. And it's not a tangible thing that we can harness. That's my thing.
I think it goes back to the UFO thing of that's because we only have the data that we have now and our understanding of it. I truly believe, in Tanner's defense and in the defense of people that do believe in some of the more out there things. I don't mean that as an insult, but our lack of understanding does not equate it doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Like, just because we don't understand how something works doesn't mean that it's not real. For the longest time, people thought the Earth was flat. Some of them still do.
Well, again, burden of proof is on the accuser. That's what all of this comes down to. You can't say aliens don't exist because we haven't seen them. That's not how that works. You have to provide the proof that that's the case, and there is no definitive proof that they do not exist. Now, on the flip side, that's why this is such a difficult argument. There is no definitive proof that they do exist. Right. It seems very likely. It's like the difference between a thunderstorm watch and a warning. Conditions are favorable for them to exist somewhere. We're on extraterrestrial watch right now.
Right.
Just from a strictly scientific standpoint.
And let's go to Kirby Ray for our extraterrestrial watch. I'll be honest.
Correspondent.
I'll be honest with you. There's a whole other story, but we're going to skip it. We're at an hour. I got to go. I got to keep going. The last story was about they made some graphite pins or something, and maybe that created a universe. I don't know.
I can sum it up real quick. If you did not like any of the things that we said, you want all these things to be real, you want time travel to be real and all that good, there's probably another reality. There's a couple of researchers at the University of Maryland who, yeah, apparently conducted this thing, and they studied some layers of graphene, saying that they think they found a clue that could explain the idea of how there is a secondary reality. These stacked sheets of graphene looked like there were, like, little universes in between them as they electrified them, and some others. It's very, very, very hypothetical. It's not theoretical even at that point.
Very sciencey. We need Science Bitch back to explain it to us.
And it really is just one of those things that says, it's just like I was just talking about, conditions are favorable for this thing maybe to exist somewhere.
But
which I think if there was one thing that we all kind of agreed on, that was a possibility, right? To some degree, we were all like, yeah, it's entirely possible that that kind of thing exists somewhere out there.
Yeah, the multiverse
works
is real.
For me.
The multiverse is real. And for all of you, like for all of the stories we said tonight, whether you agree or disagree, again, remember that we are here because we want to believe these things and we want to prove. Right. I want to prove that there is life after death. I want to prove that people can talk to the dead. I want to prove that aliens exist. So anytime you hear me push back on that, that's not me saying you're wrong and you're an idiot. That's me saying I haven't seen it yet and we're going to keep looking until we find it. It's not enough to just say probably. I need to know. So that's going to do it for us tonight. I want to thank Tanner and Hunter for being here, obviously. And we'll see you guys on the next I Want to Believe. We'll have more updates on the August big thing that we're going to be doing. We'll be back this week with all new shows. Until then, for myself, Tanner, and Double H, take it easy. Continue to watch the skis.
Guys.
Tanner, what did I say? Later.